May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Amen. But you notice I'm not bishop. That's okay. He is in San Antonio. He's performing a wedding this weekend and an ordination on Sunday night. So he's busy. I would have normally gone with him for that kind of thing, but I've got a lot of travel coming up with him and I wasn't able to do it. So there we go. So in my prayer time about what to share this morning, you know, I've really been digging in this season of Lent. You know, that prayer at the beginning I did, just this is a time for us to go further up and further into the heart of God. It's a time to look at ourselves, see what it is we could do different, what it is we could do better. Not as a matter of getting anything from God, but just as a matter of being a more efficient servant, a more efficient child of God, right? So in this gospel is what we know it as the Great Commission. And the Lord brought me to this last verse specifically, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. Teaching them to observe, okay, so we'll do 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, he promised us in John 14 that he wouldn't leave us orphans, that he was going to prepare a place for us. That was the cross, was where he was going. And the place he was preparing for us was in himself. As Bishop said many times, you've been woven into the fabric of his very existence. The one who spoke all things into being and holds all things together, that is the one with which you have union. You are one with him. Now there's hope in that. There's peace in that. We live in a world where it doesn't feel like that. Amen? So I want to talk about knowing, the hope that comes from knowing that he is with you always. You know, we spend a lot of our Christian life trying to get closer to God, but you can't get any closer to God than you are right now. He's in there. You don't have to bombard the gates of heaven with your prayers. You don't have to try to make it to the throne room. All prayer happens in the throne room because he's in there. We'll read the scripture in a minute. You are the temple of the Lord, and he dwells in you. So it's about cultivating a consciousness of who you are and whose you are in your everyday life. It's about becoming more aware of the fact that he's with you always. See, that's what the enemy does, is he tries to distract you. He tries to lie to you to say that you're alone and you're out there on your own, and you have to figure this out by yourself. No. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you. That means all you have to do is in the moment. You don't even have to get loud. Just in the moment. Jesus, how do you see this? This thing I'm coming up against, how do you see this? What do we do here? You see, it's not about what you do, because you're not alone. Everything you do is what we do, because you and he are one. That's the union you've been invited into. You get his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. That, beloved, is good news in a world that desperately needs good news. So my challenge to you in this season of Lent specifically, and it's what I'm praying into, is just to be ever conscious of his presence. Because that's where we fall down, is when we don't realize he's with us. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 41. Now, I understand it's the prophet Isaiah. It's written to the people Israel, but Israel's not just a people. It's not just a country. It's a person. These promises are to the bridegroom, Jesus, the one with whom you've been given union. Amen? So listen to what the prophet Isaiah says here in verse 10 of chapter 41. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you surely. I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. If that's not what you're experiencing, you need to become more aware of who's with you. If you're not seeing this in your life, if you're feeling like you're on the fringe and you're out there all alone and you got to figure it out, and woe is me,
child of God, he's with you. All you have to do is whisper his name. The prayer doesn't have to get above your nose. It's not like you got to get loud so that God will hear or respond to you.
The book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. This is Paul talking to the church in Rome. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That sounds like it covers it to me. There's not anything left out there. Now recognize it says, in Christ Jesus. That's where you are. That's why you can't be separated. That's why you can't get away. Even if you walked out of here today and said, I'm done with all this and I'm going to go do whatever I want to do and I'm going to live my life this way. Child of God, he's with you. He's in you. And all he's doing is waiting for you to go, I surrender. There's hope. Nothing can separate you. Nothing the enemy can do, nothing your neighbor can do, nothing a government can do can separate you from the love of God. What is the love of God? That's Jesus. Jesus is the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Not after Adam sinned, but from the foundation of the world. Jehovah. El Shaddai, the God who sees ahead and makes the way, made the way before we were even a part of the story. Nothing can separate you. Turn over to Psalm 23. I'm just throwing nuggets of word, nuggets of truth at you to help you realize that you're not alone. And that the Father's desire for you is to be so aware of his presence in your life that nothing can move you. Nothing can shake you. Nothing can steal your joy. Because it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. He's in there. Psalm 23, very familiar to all of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. Do you need some restoration in your soul today? Do you need some peace down in your heart? Me too. That's the promise. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's Jesus. All of Scripture points to Jesus. This is David writing about Jesus. Even, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Right there. There's no enemies in heaven. This isn't about the sweet by and by. This isn't about one day when we're all together in glory. Now, the table in the presence of our enemy is here. It's here on the earth. It's the altar of the Lord that we gather around when we come to worship him. You have anointed my head with oil. That's the Holy Spirit. And my cup overflows. Is your cup overflowing today? When you open your mouth, does the Holy Spirit come out? When you're talking to your coworkers, you're driving your car and that blankety-blank so-and-so cuts you off on the road? It ought to. You ought to be so aware of the presence of God. You ought to be so aware that you are the temple of the Lord and he dwells in you that the only thing that comes out of your mouth is the word. Everything ought to come tempered with love because that's who he's made you to be. That's the covenant he has with you. And you can live this way.
And it's not about trying harder. It's about becoming more aware of who you are and whose you are. Amen? Surely, goodness and loving kindness, that's mercy, depending on the translation you look at, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Does it seem like things are going wrong all the time? And just every time you turn around, what next, Lord? What now? Sure, goodness, mercy, that's what now. Start expecting that. Be aware of his presence. Yeah, it may look dark. It may look like this thing isn't going the way, but you serve a God that knows and a God who sees. The one who works all things together for your good because you love him knows it's going to be okay. And what's following you is goodness and mercy. Amen? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, do you not know, this is what I referenced earlier, that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Beloved, all it takes is a tweak of your perspective to grow in the understanding that he's with you. You just got to remember, he's with you. It doesn't matter how dark it looks. It doesn't matter what tragedy has befallen you. We had a lot of people go through the dozens and dozens of tornadoes last weekend. That's tragedy. That's loss. But you know there's a God who sees. You know there's a God that will work together all those things into the good for them. And it's going to be better on the other side than it could have been any other way. He's good, he's faithful, and you can trust him. You just need to be aware that he's with you. Amen? So my prayer for you, my challenge for you this Lent is anytime you start to get a little anxious, anytime you start to wonder, what now, God, what's next? That you stop and you take a breath and you realize, like in the Matrix, that's not air you're breathing. Lord Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit, because he's with you and he's in you. And you can do all things, even put up with a little mud here down on earth, because he's with you. Amen. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.